This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show on K108, heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you have questions for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080.
Show the world and all its people all the wonders love can bring. Give us strength and understanding. Give us all one song to sing. Let the music play. Play it loud and make it clear. It's time to stand up to a new world that is now so near. From the bottom to the top, to the leaders of the land, we all have one heart. Every one of us must lend a hand.
Let there be joy in the world.
Let there be.
And let there be no sorrow.
Let there be. Got to see that love, oh love, what a blessed thing. Oh yeah, say it loud, make it clear. Walls are falling down. No more children off to war. If we search in our hearts, all this suffering will be no more. Children, let them
It's time for the Carol Cox Show on K108, heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you have questions for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080.
And good morning, and welcome to the Carol Cox Show. And I'm sitting here today with Miss Esther Kiaina, congressional. She is the congressional candidate for District 2, the United States Congress. And I must tell you the reason, they reached out for me, but initially I had great intentions and would have asked for them to come on, for Ms. Kiaina to come on, because I was motivated way back when this thing called the political campaign started to be publicly discussed, and I saw in there something was rather disheartening. It served up Mr. Mufi Hanneman, former mayor, gubernatorial candidate, and what have you, put him in the forefront. It served him up as if it was a done deal, and he was the man, and it was a shoe-in. And I just, at that time, and so fortunately, I was approached by them. And I want to also let you know a disclaimer, a disclosure, that this is not an endorsement, but I did reach out for Tulsi Gabbard as well, and I don't know why they don't return phone calls. But in the future, if any of them wish to come on, please call me, 782-6627, and we'll schedule you as well. We want to be equal and fair. But that's the big background on this, and I think the listeners out there, you the listener, should have an opportunity to hear candidates to speak more than in the soundbite, and you can call in as well. 524-1080 is the number, and don't hesitate and don't hold back, because this is nothing staged here. I haven't met with her and orchestrated any questions or answers, so what you get is the true Esther Kiaina. And good morning, Esther.
Good morning,
thank
Carol.
You.
Thank you so much for having me on your show.
So a little bit about yourself, if you would, because where you come from, and
sure.
You don't have to tell us your address. But
No problem. I'm from Nanakuli, Oahu, and mm-hmm. I am the daughter of Haunani Kiaina and the late Mel Kiaina, who was from Kalihi, Oahu, and my mother was from Kalamaula, Molokai.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a very unusual upbringing in that my father, who was a civilian working for the U.S. Navy, raised half of the seven children in our family on the island of Guam. So I went to grammar school, Catholic school on the island of Guam, before returning to Hawaii to be with other members of my family and graduating from the Kamehameha schools.
Mm-hmm.
And so my understanding of both Hawaii and the rest of the Pacific has been broadened and strengthened by my upbringing, not only geographically, but also through the values instilled by my family.
Mm-hmm. And I must say, folks, the banners and flyers and pamphlets really don't serve up the candidate well. If you meet her in person, I think you'd be appreciative of her strength and her willingness to be frank with you. So let's get to, why are you running? I mean, there's other people are running, and they mm-hmm. promise certain things, and they present their skills and their techniques and what have you, an understanding of government and the problems they have. Why do you throw your hat in?
You know, that's a very good question, because after being in D.C. for over 20 years, one would ask, why would I be coming back to Hawaii and then wanting to return to D.C.? First and foremost, I believe I am the most qualified candidate out of the five candidates running for this district.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that I reflect the ideology of the Democratic Party and fully support the 2010 Democratic platform. And I believe that at this critical juncture in Hawaii's history and our nation's history on some of the issues that we're facing, we see attacks on a multitude of fronts, both mm-hmm. socially and on the environment. Mm-hmm. And on key senior programs. And I believe that my knowledge of the ins and outs of D.C., not just knowing D.C., but knowing how to get things done in D.C., I have a record of achievement.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought at the time that Mazie Hirono had announced that she would be running for the Senate that this would be an opportunity to give voice to all the things that I believed in. I have been behind the scenes, behind various members of Congress and state institutions for decades. And I think that it is time for me to step up and become that principal.
Right.
Because I could be more effective.
Okay. Well, because this is for the people, this effort is, we have a caller. Are you okay with accepting right off the start here? And we'll get to our questions. And
sure.
Caller, you have a question or comment for Esther?
Aloha, Esther. I hate to start with a hard question, but, you know, times are hard, especially for small business owners. There's a huge debate right now about what's causing the problems for small business owners. Rising health care costs have been cited, and also the possibility of new government regulations. You know, and as a former small business owner, I lost my business during this hard economic time. I wondered, what if we send you to Congress, how can you help me out?
Well, first of all, let me just say that I fully support small businesses. I believe that small businesses are the backbone of Hawaii's economy, and that it is imperative that the federal government, through the Small Business Administration and other agencies, do whatever is necessary to not only help our current small businesses, but also help to create more small businesses. Personally, I have a small business background, not myself professionally, but my parents had a landscaping business for 40 years, and the life growing up as a child was 24/7, and so I greatly appreciate the impact of what small businesses provides for the quality of life of families. So what I could assure you is that should I get elected to Congress, I will make sure that I do everything possible to help small businesses strengthen themselves and for new businesses to be created.
Mahalo for your answer.
Okay. Thank you, caller. 524-1080. I'll give you the first opportunity, and I think that'll be a gauge of your ability and your understanding, where people can call you raw and straight and ask the questions unscripted. So, for a person like myself, I don't like to say that I support issues such as, not issues, rights of others, such as lesbians and gays and their right to union, civil unions, or marrying or what have you. How do you stand on that? For me, as a citizen, if I go in that ballot box to look, I'm saying I want to make sure that I'm voting for someone that respects their rights.
Yes.
And I'm not wanting to send a person from Congress to know what's going on in their bedroom, nor my bedroom. How do you stand on the issue of civil unions or just the respect for other people's
sure.
rights and their sexual...
Good question. First, let me talk about my values. Two values that are ingrained in me include respect for all people and fairness to all people. And that was the manner of how our parents raised myself and the rest of our family. And as such, I fully support not only civil unions but same-sex marriage. My priority, should I get elected, will be to repeal the Defense of Marriage Act. I believe there should be uniformity across the nation in the manner of how we recognize same-sex marriage. I think that the state of Hawaii did a courageous step in passing civil unions recently, but I think that they're ready for the next step. And the reason for uniformity is that a big issue internationally is when partners of someone who is an American citizen is trying to get into the United States, and that would involve modifying federal immigration laws. And as you know, federal immigration laws is very complex, and I believe if there is not the ability to enforce laws across the state within this country, that would be a very difficult proposition to even consider with regard to having a preference or policy to bring someone abroad into the United States. It is a well-thought proposal, but I think that until you have uniformity in the United States, it would be very, very hard to enforce, because what state would be allowed to recognize that international marriage?
Now, women's rights. Do, in your opinion, do you think women have attained the highest level equal to men in this state and in this nation? And if you don't think so, what will you do to improve these things?
You know, if you saw the newspaper the other day with regard to the number of small businesses, women owners that have increased in Hawaii, you would have the impression that women are faring well. But to the contrary, there are many social issues that are impacting us, especially the right to choose, and we are under siege. And so if there are any women listeners out there, I will tell you that if there is any time to hold our elected leaders accountable at any level of government, it is now. And most recently, Cynthia Oi in the Honolulu Advertiser wrote about the efforts at various state levels to do a multitude of things that are adverse to women. For example, Governor Rick Perry from Texas refused to accept more than $30 million in federal funds for women's health programs because he doesn't want some of it going to radical groups like Planned Parenthood. That is completely unacceptable. Mm-hmm. We have male legislators in various states across the country trying to figure out what is best for women's reproductive health. And mm-hmm. I just think that that is outrageous. Mm-hmm. So I am for a woman's right to choose. And I believe that should I get elected, I will be, of course, not only a strong advocate for women, but a strong advocate for others who seem to be under siege by congressional Republicans.
Mm-hmm. Caller, good morning. You have a question?
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a question about a use of the National Guard for international adventurism. Where do you stand on that? I mean, after all, the National Guard means just defense and taking care of the problems in America. You know, when we have natural disasters, our National Guard is over in Afghanistan or wherever. You know, why is there the National Guard being used in international adventurism, and where do you stand on that? And number two, the preamble to the Constitution says what was the reason the United States was formed? Two reasons. Provide for the common defense, and defense means defense. It doesn't mean offense. The second reason the United States was formed, in the preamble, you read it, it says to promote the general welfare. Where do you stand on the issue of promoting general welfare, and why is that such a bad word? Why is it called socialism? I'll take it off the air. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. First, with regard to the National Guard, I am in support of the use of the National Guard for whatever the president decides is in our national interest. I do believe, however, that there needs to be a review of the manner of how our National Guard guardsmen are treated with regard to benefits. They should not be differentiated in the manner of our armed forces if, in fact, they are called to serve our country in international conflicts. And so that's something that actually needs to be reconciled. With regard to offense versus defense, or just the comment of general welfare, that's a very broad-ranging question. However, I would say this, that with the lessons learned from both Iraq and Afghanistan, Iran is a perfect example of how we should not be beating the drums just because it's a presidential election year. And so in that case, we should not be playing offense. We should be working collectively with other countries in the region to make sure that we do not put the United States and our troops in a dangerous position that they have put themselves in, both Iraq and Afghanistan, at great cost to the country, both in lives as well as economics and reputation of the United States.
Mm-hmm. Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question for Ms. Kiaina. Hello? Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question for Congress candidate? Try call back if you and you have to be patient. We can't break in mid-sentence. If you have something that's pressing and you'd like to speak, just be patient and we'll get to you. And I hope we answered the other caller's question, 524-1080. And I believe in this format because they get to hear and speak to you naturally, and they can go away. So often we we hear these comments and go, where did that come from? It was planned, and I base my judgment on the natural response from the hip, so to speak. Good morning, caller. You have a comment, a question?
Yes, I do. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, I do have a question for Esther.
Mm-hmm.
My question is kind of two-part. The first part is, how does she feel about rail here in Hawaii? And second, when she does go to Congress, I'm very optimistic, that how will she help us here in Hawaii in further expanding the rail and funding the rail?
Okay.
Okay. With regard to the rail, you know, living in Nanakuli and driving 1.5 hours in traffic every day, I greatly appreciate the need for mass transit. I do have concerns, however, of the manner of how the rail has moved forward. And so my commitment to the rail funding would be on our leaders locally and at the federal level to get together and ensure that the manner of how the project is moving forward in the right way.
That sounds great. Thank you very much. I do enjoy listening to you, by the way, Esther. So thank you very much for being on the program and elaborating on your thoughts.
Mahalo.
Now, for me, for clarity, are you for the rail or against it? Because when you say that you're going to look at the funding for the locals and the nationals, this is a bum deal from the start. Now, are you going to do what the others do, get in and then start to... We don't need the rail, so what are you going to do?
Well, first of all, let's step back here. A mm-hmm. process has started, mm-hmm. and I'm not pleased in the manner of how certain decisions have been made. Having said that, there are commitments at the federal level and at all levels of government with regard to moving the project forward. So I believe that ASAP, immediately, all of the stakeholders have to get together and stop politically posturing for election purposes to make it a real issue. And to but as far as the voters are concerned, they have already determined that that project would move forward. So what I am saying is, absent a determination that this project has to absolutely stop, it is going to take someone to have to stop it.
Right. Well, if
it's already in progress,
Ben Kai, it's if so many robberies that the guy is nearing inside the bank and about ready to take all the loot. What do? You stop and say, well, he's got pretty much done and complete. A lot of illegal things were done in this process. We have HART, for example.
Sure.
And you're saying that, and I just declare not to be confrontational,
yes.
But. These are the things that others are speaking about. If just because it's on its way now,
yes.
That you're going to adopt a stance and go in and support it just to make sure that the money's come on through?
No. Well, I'm saying that let the processes bear out. There are enforcement mechanisms, of course, laws and regulations that if violated and if found to be violated, then it needs to be looked into.
Mm-hmm. Now, would you then, it's the violation is not going to just reveal themselves. Who would do the investigation? Would you, as a congressional person, initiate and call for an investigation?
Well, determining on the source of the funds would determine the agency that has jurisdictions of such funds.
Yeah.
So if it's county funds, there would be the mechanisms locally. If it is federal funds, then there are agencies in place where you can call for example, the Inspector General of various federal agencies is there. There is a hotline where anyone from the public can call to say if there is misuse of federal funds.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, anyway, that the entire history and it's the
No,
origin,
I understand. It's very complicated.
Just corrupt. I wouldn't call it complicated. The process, the way it was presented, is just simply corrupt, and that has been proven. Granting of grants and or monies and contracts and whatever is quite questionable. So, I'm just curious if you would do that, because Ben Cayetano is saying that he is going to get in and stop it. So how would you? The two of you, it seems that you're in opposite ends of the
No, not completely. I just, for me, when I said, you know, you used the word corrupt, I say complex in that this has gone on for decades. Mm-hmm. And the voters of Hawaii have spoken, and most recently in support, although those polls have shown that there has been the opposition to rail has increased. Having said that, just because you don't like what is going on in any circumstance, and this is a very, very major project, I just am saying that you have to go through processes first to flush out whether or not there have been violations, mm-hmm. and I think that is what Governor Cayetano has been moving forward on. Mm-hmm. From a policy perspective, you can be raising the issue. So what I would just assure you is this, now and moving forward, I will be monitoring all of the developments related to rail, and if I realize that there has been any violation of state or federal laws, I will address it accordingly with my other colleagues.
Mm-hmm. Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question? Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question for Esther? Anyway, this situation on environmental impact statements regarding the rail, is it complete? Or has it been completely accepted and completed and submitted? Are you familiar with that?
No, I'm not familiar with the status. I do know there was concerns over maintenance costs and the level of ridership that would be riding the rail, and whether or not the long-term sustainability of the rail would be feasible.
Good morning. You have a comment or question?
Yes, I was wondering, I would like to take you back to the topic of women's reproductive health. Since you've been in Washington for 20 years, have you seen that there's been a systemic change in the attitudes of Congress, or do you really think that this is just political posturing for this election? And I'll take the answer off the air. Thank you.
No, I have never seen it worse in my life, and that is one of the reasons that I am running. I see an active movement against women at all levels of government, and efforts to try to take Roe v. Wade back to the U.S. Supreme Court to repeal it. This is all part of a collaborative effort across the country. Both in the Congress, against Planned Parenthood, at various levels of local and state legislatures. And I believe that we have to stand up. This is the election for women.
Good morning. You have a comment or question for Esther?
Yeah, good morning, Esther.
Good morning.
I'm always happy to see new blood coming in and running for offices rather than these old dogs who run and run and run. But in your case, since you are favoring same-sex marriage, which I'm totally against, you will not be getting my vote. I might go along with civil unions because civil unions involve two people who might not be associated sexually, but just for economic purposes might want a civil union. So I might go along with that. But same-sex marriage, it's not in my religious situation. So thank you for running, and good luck. But no vote for me. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.
Now, that's the nice part about a democracy. People get to vote, and you get to run, and hopefully the majority go out and vote. We need to address these issues, and once again, it's indicative that people want to bring in the religious part and dictate people's lives and their private lives. And individually, people should have their religion, and they should incorporate it in their normal life. But I'm a little troubled when it crosses that line and start to tell others what they should do. And I applaud you for supporting these issues and the rights of others in that fashion.
Can I say something
yeah.
With regard to the gentleman who just called? First off, thank you very much for your phone call. I would ask that you reconsider voting for me because we are not. I would hate for it to be a single issue that would be the determining factor in whether or not someone would be your representative. There is so much at stake for the quality of life of the people of Hawaii, and same-sex marriage is just one of many issues. Mm-hmm. And so I just ask that you look at my record overall on how I can improve the quality of life, protect the environment, help to bring jobs and strengthen our economy. You could look at the other candidates as well, but I ask if you can find any candidate where you believe 100% in all of that they believe.
Uh-huh. By the way, who are your supporters? I mean, you're not this person single-handedly going out there attempting to get become a congressman, a congresswoman. I'm sorry.
No, I'm smiling because in a way, I am the underdog. No doubt, I have not run for political office, but I think Hawaii, as compared to the rest of the country, is not used to having former congressional staffers run, when in fact that is quite the norm. So I have fielded a lot of questions by people who have said, Esther, you have to run for state first, and then you go to federal. And my response to that is 20 years of congressional experience, knowing the ins and outs, having been key in the enactment of certain laws and resolution within certain agencies qualifies me, along with my education, to run for Congress. And so... I wish that people would take a better look.
Now, again, you talked about it briefly, but who you spent 20 years in Washington, who did you work for and what were you doing at that time? If you would,
sure.
Let me
start in 1986. In 1986, January, I arrived in D.C. after graduating from the University of Southern California in Los Angeles in 1985 of December. And I went to D.C. like many young adults trying to figure out a way to get into the system. And one of the ways that you get into the federal system is to intern. And so I had contacted Senator Daniel Inouye's office for an internship, and I was able to secure a volunteer internship for the spring of 1986, and that basically got my foot in the door. I went to Johns Hopkins School of International Studies for 2.5 years, and in between that time, I worked for his former chief of staff, Henry Juni, who was my mentor. He became the first U.S. Senate Sergeant-at-Arms of color, and I worked my way up in the Press Photographer's Gallery, and then I also worked as a consular in the U.S. Senate Placement Office. And in 1990, when Senator Akaka had a very tough election against former Representative Pat Saiki, I worked in his office. I got in his office in May 1990 and was asked to stay after the Senator won re-election in November. And I served him for 9 years as a legislative assistant. And my primary kuleana was the environment and natural resources, Native Hawaiian issues, maritime, census, a multitude of issues. Mm-hmm. After that time, I was asked by Congressman Robert Underwood of Guam because I became an expert in the U.S. territories, and I have familiarity with the territories, having been born in Guam. I was asked to be his legislative director and chief of staff, and so I felt that it was time for me to grow and to have some managerial experience. I took him up on his offer and served him for 4 years, four of which he was chair of the Congressional Asian Pacific American Caucus. And that is a caucus that basically provided a national platform for us to help in addressing the needs of Asian and Pacific Islander communities wherever they lived, in the U.S. territories or in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
After that, Patsy Mink passed away, and Representative Ed Case took her spot. And Representative Ed Case saw my resume and offered me his a spot as chief of staff. So for the last 4 years of my congressional career, I was chief of staff for Congressman Ed Case, who represented the 2nd District.
Mm-hmm.
I have since come back to Hawaii, worked first as a land asset manager for the Kamehameha Schools, and then working as chief advocate for the Office of Hawaiian Affairs.
Mm-hmm.
Sex, marriage, civil union.
Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question? You have some noise in the background.
I have some noise in the background. I'm sorry. I'm busy listening to the program. I support same-sex marriage. As a matter of fact, I'm a civil union officiant here in Honolulu. And I absolutely believe in it. Love is for everybody.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Mahalo for your call.
Right.
Thank you.
Anyway, what I gather from your background, if things got heated and there was a boiler room situation, you could handle it. And not because you, to say that, I know a lot of people that have become state representative, but if you look at their records, they can claim they've introduced many of bills. But if you look at the other end of that, how many of those bills were passed? And so often voters are tricked or duped or they don't follow through, go, well, when I was a state representative, I introduced 800 bills. And then you ask, well, how many did you pass? And so that's a false sense of security in that. But you would be able to walk the walk and talk the talk up there. That's what I can describe.
Absolutely. If you don't mind, can I talk about an issue that is actually important to Hawaii and mm-hmm. I think that I could add to? It mm-hmm. deals with the Compacts of Free Association in Micronesia. And the increasing health and educational costs that is affecting our economy and a lot of policymakers have been talking about. One of the areas I worked with when I was in Congress had to do with that. And I was a staffer in helping with the law that provided $30 million mandatory funding to affected areas, which primarily include Guam, Hawaii, and the Northern Marianas. Now, clearly, that is not enough money. In the state of Hawaii, we pay over $100 million in health and educational costs. And I do have a proposal in how to move this forward. I don't think that it is enough to say the federal government needs to fulfill its mandate on all of these affected areas and just give us money. They don't have money. So what is needed now are leaders that look at innovative ways of getting the job done. My proposal is threefold. First, I would hold the U.S. accountable and the agencies for the hundreds of millions of dollars that we give to these freely associated states that is supposed to go to healthcare and, mm-hmm. and education and find out what is going on there. If the quality of life was better in Micronesia, then they wouldn't be exiting. But they are dire, and that mm-hmm. is why they are coming to the United States for relief.
Mm-hmm.
Second, we have matching requirements, federal matching requirements for a lot of funding programs in the United States. We should negotiate with the Interior Department and the Obama administration and say, listen, we have to match these certain requirements. You don't have the money to pay for us. Let's mm-hmm. work out an agreement whereby you waive the matching requirements. Mm-hmm. That could save us tens of millions of dollars. And lastly, if mm-hmm. the state of Hawaii has certain debt that it owes the United States,
mm-hmm.
put it on the table.
Mm-hmm.
Waive that debt.
Mm-hmm.
We are losing hundreds of millions of dollars every year at the cost of these medical expenses. Now, mm-hmm. let me say this. I have a lot of Hanai Micronesian family members,
mm-hmm.
so this should not be an issue of whether Micronesians should be here. I fully support the Micronesian community.
Mm-hmm.
What we should deal with is the manner of how the United States has imposed a mandate on it and to deal with that mandate at a policy level.
Mm-hmm.
Micronesians are contributors to our state. They are wonderful people. Many of their community are in need. But I say that social providers should be there for them with regard to the other battle that is a battle for policymakers.
Mm-hmm.
And I will make this a priority should I be elected to Congress.
Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question for Esther? Hello. Anyway, if you do call in, if you are intent on having comment or question, be patient. And also, if you would be kind to turn your radio down in the background, but I hope you understand that we just can't push the button and start talking. You seem to demonstrate that you have fire in your belly, and that I was, again, as I said earlier, I was excited because there are people out there that can and bring something new to the table and your connections. And I had asked you earlier, and we got a call, your supporters, are you supported by union, or who are your supporters?
Well, I am supported by my base includes the Native Hawaiian community,
mm-hmm.
environmental community, women's groups, the LGBT community, and the progressive community. But I encourage all listeners out there that no matter what stripe you are, please take a look at my candidacy. One of my challenges, as I said earlier, is that I do not have name recognition, but I have superior qualifications, and I have great spirit and spunk. And so I believe that I would be ill-serving myself by saying that this is the people who support me,
mm-hmm.
because I believe that I represent all stripes,
mm-hmm.
and I just think that I need to have some kokua in getting my message out. And getting my message out is through going through my website at kiaaina.com,
mm-hmm.
By helping to volunteer, but by putting up yard signs, by talking to your family members that there are others who are running in the second district who care very deeply about the issues confronting constituents in the 2nd District.
I don't think that's because you don't have name recognition. And personally, the first president, he was never president before that, so why would, you know, in the founding of this nation, our first president was never president. So if we use that argument, well, you were never president, so you can't serve as president. You, I believe, with the issues out here, we don't have much to show how you would actually vote. But on the others that are out there, we know how they voted, and I think it would be fair for the voters to give you the fair opportunity to express yourself, and I hope you're successful in getting on other shows, and if not, come back here. But I wouldn't want to do an interview. I would rather have people able to just call you and speak directly, because in this day and age, we need it. I'm not not promoting or advocating for you, but you're welcome to come back.
The difference between the election of George Washington and myself is that the world has changed dramatically in the manner of how we elect our national officials. And regrettably, it has come down to money.
Mm-hmm.
Money to put ads on the TV, money to have huge banners. And so when I say that, I'm in it to win, but at the same time, I need kokua, and I need financial kokua,
mm-hmm.
Because that's what it takes. And I think the recent U.S. Supreme Court ruling, which provided for corporations to be participatory through super PACs,
mm-hmm.
which could be endless amount of monies, has changed the landscape so much that it does make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
So no matter how qualified you are, no matter how great your message is, unless you could get it out to the people, which you can through canvassing and through phone banking, but if you still need to have money to go to the airwaves. Someone who is in this race needs minimally $300,000
mm-hmm.
to be successful on the airwaves.
Mm-hmm. Caller, you have a comment or question?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Esther. Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay.
We got you here.
Yeah, okay. Florida had a mass transit, or I think it was rail, funding, and then they turned it down. So I think it was $5 to $15 billion. I think by law has to be distributed to other applicants. Do you have any idea where that money is going, or has Hawaii applied for that?
Regrettably, I do not have the answer to that question.
Okay, can you look into that?
I can look into it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Anything else you'd like to share, just that we didn't talk about, or some of the affordable housing? You see so many people are homeless here now. How would you approach that, and what are some of your thoughts?
Affordable housing is a critical issue, and you know, that affects Hawaii being a high-cost living area. And I think that the financial crisis in the mortgage industry was detrimental to thousands and thousands of Americans across the country, including here in Hawaii. So that is why I am pleased that there has been established the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, whereby consumers will have a watchdog to monitor both the banking and abusive lending practices of lenders. Having said that, I think that, you know, as I said, we have the county, state, and federal governments dealing with these issues. It's not an easy issue. I believe that we should work closely with our developers because we have finite land resources in the state of Hawaii. And I think that we should make sure that the conditioning of the building of certain development projects are consistent with what is necessary, mm-hmm. and that you ensure that a percentage of those housing are affordable housing.
Mm-hmm. Will you care to take one more call?
And the only other thing I would add is the Hawaiian Homelands Program, which is based out of the Hawaiian Homes Commission Act, while serving Native Hawaiians, actually helps in relieving the housing crisis of all of the people of Hawaii. So I think the improvement of Hawaiians to be put back on Hawaiian homelands will help partially in alleviating the housing crisis. Mm-hmm. Helping Hawaiians helps all of the people of Hawaii. Mm-hmm.
Good morning, caller. You have a comment, a question for Esther?
Yeah, hi, Carol. I have a question about, first of all, I support same-sex marriage as well. But I want to ask specifically, what can the federal government do or our elected officials in Congress do to support our seniors? What specifically can you do? I'll take the answer off
there. Okay, thank you.
Wow, that is a tough question. Well, what they could do is they could be fighting for our seniors. Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid are on the chopping block for congressional Republicans, and I think there are other ways of balancing the budget. I believe that they should tax the 1% fairly, and they should be closing the loopholes on corporations that take U.S. jobs overseas, as well as big oil and gas companies. So I believe that there are alternative ways of balancing the budget through fair taxes and not at the not on the backs of our seniors.
Mm-hmm. Good morning, caller. Real quick, comment or question for
you? I have a question.
Please.
The city did not look into any alternative for this rail. Now, you said that you're for this rail, right? Hello?
Yes.
No, I said I'm for mass transit, and I have very strong concerns about the current rail project. So I do believe that there could have been a better job done in looking at alternative ways of mass transportation.
Exactly. Now, another question. You know, you and I know that the federal government is broke. Okay? Social Security is in trouble. Medicare, Medicaid is also in trouble. So how are you going to present to Congress in solving this problem? And I'll listen off the air.
Thank you, sir. As I said in my previous answer, I believe that balancing our budget should not be on the backs of our seniors nor on the backs of other critical social programs. There are other ways of raising revenues, particularly in the tax arena. I also believe that with the withdrawal of troops from Iraq and the phased withdrawal of troops from Afghanistan, a lot of the billions of dollars that we are spending can be refocused here in the United States for prioritizing the needs of our domestic programs. That is why I'm very concerned about calls to go to war with Iran. I'm against that.
Okay. A caller, real quick. You have a comment, a question?
Hi. Yeah, I have a question. I was wondering if Esther had any kind of clues to the future as what can you do as the next congressperson from Hawaii to bring jobs to the island and to foster a stronger local economy?
Thank you. That is a very important issue. Earlier, we had talked about small business, and I believe that small business is the backbone of our economy. Clearly, DOD, agriculture, and tourism are key industries. So I believe that we need to do whatever is necessary to create new jobs through small businesses that are established now or newly established businesses. DOD will continue to be a presence here in Hawaii, as is as expressed by the President in his State of the Union, and how the Asia Pacific region will continue to be strategically important. And so I would recommend, as I did to the University of Hawaii Professional Assembly, that as the federal government increases its presence and manpower here, a lot of them are civilian jobs, there is no reason that local people should not be getting their jobs. There are a variety of jobs from low-wage labor to over $100,000. It requires defense analysts, for example. It requires linguists. Mm-hmm. And I just think that the University of Hawaii should be working collaboratively with the Office of Personnel Management and the Department of Defense to outreach to our schools here in Hawaii to make sure that the jobs that are here now are manned by locals. Mm-hmm. Agricultural and tourism, of course, tourism is increasing and is getting back on its feet. Agriculture, I think that we should be doing more. There is no reason that we should not be having a thriving, diversified agricultural industry.
Okay. We're going to take a break, and I've asked Esther to stay with us a while longer, and for about 20 minutes. And again, I want to make sure that other candidates out there, you can give me a call at 782-6627 or go to thecarolcoxshow.com or carolcox.com. Send me an email, and we will give you equal time as they've reached out, and we're happy to afford them this opportunity, which affords you the opportunity of listening in and calling in and having a direct participation. Nothing scripted here, so if I don't ask it and you don't bother to call, don't see me on the street and says, I was going to call you, but. So this is your opportunity to get it straight from the, I won't say horse's mouth, but from Esther's mouth. So we'll be back shortly.
Breaking rocks out here on the chain gang, 'cause they done convicted me of crime. Hold it steady right there while I hit it. Well, I reckon that ought to get it. Been working and working, but I still got so terribly far to go. I committed crime, Lord, I need it. Crime of being hungry and poor. I left the grocery store man breathing when they caught me robbing a store. Hold it steady right there while I hit it. Well, I reckon that ought to get it. Been working and working, but I still got so terribly far to go. I heard the judge say 5 years on chain gang, you gonna go. I
heard the church say 5 years of labor. I heard my old man scream, Lordy, no. Hold it right there while I hit it. Well, I reckon that ought to get it. Been working and working, but I still got so terribly far to go. See my sweet honey babe, gonna break this chain off the run. I'm gonna lay down somewhere shady. Lord, I sure am hot in the sun. Hold it right there while I hit it. Well, I reckon that ought to get it. Been working and working.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show on K108, heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you have questions for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080.
Okay, good morning again, and welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. 524-1080 is the number if you want to call in, and as if you're just joining us, I have a congressional candidate for the 2nd District here for Hawaii, Miss Esther Kia'aina, and she hails from Nanakuli, and she's been around, and I would describe her of a person of interest in this political era, and I think that sometimes we're so easily duped in thinking that because you got a big banner and you show up and invite it, you are the quote underdog. But in fact, we cheat ourselves as voters. For example, I received an email on Emily's List, or they are supporting. There's a great ruckus now about the support for the candidate Gabbard, and many things. So you might get an endorsement, and it might backfire on you. So I don't think I could stomach politics, because you, just when you think you're safe and got a support, it backfires or there's negativity about it. So I don't know the full story of that. But anyway, again, for Mr. Hanneman and Ms. Gabbard and anyone else that wishes to have equal time, feel free to call me. 782-6627, and we'll get you on air. But anyway, don't hesitate anymore. Again, your campaign, where is it, and how is it going, and is there a website and all of that kind of information so people can learn more about
Great.
You and your purpose?
Thank you. Thank you very much for asking. Our website is kia'aina.com, very easy. We have headquarters down at Ward Warehouse across of Island Guitars on the 2nd floor. Not far from Kincaid's, and the number is 591-2012, 591-2012. We were very lucky to get that. Mm-hmm. I think it was a sign. Anyway, we will be opening up on Maui headquarters on Vineyard Street off of Market Street this week, as well as holding a fundraiser, a women's fundraiser, that is being hosted by an array of women leaders here in Hawaii on March 29th at the Plaza Club. So if anybody wants to join us, 5:30 to 7:30, please RSVP to 591-2012.
Mm-hmm. And
I'm sorry. I was remiss to say that we now have a campaign manager on board. Her name is Joanne Adams. She is an estate planning attorney and long advocate for our community. She hails from Waikiki. And she has also been very, very active in our LGBT community statewide.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you one thing, and then I hope you can speak to the listeners out there, because they, too, would be deciding whether to vote. When you look at this medical issue with Obamacare and what have you, senior citizens, what do you have in mind to enhance the issues of medical care? And I know you spoke about it briefly. You have any ideas or anything you're going to go to Washington to make better?
Well, first off, I would like to say that I support Obamacare, and I believe that Obamacare has done wonders for a lot of those who have been uninsured, extending insurance to children till they're 26. And to help in decreasing the price of prescription drugs for our seniors. I think an area that we all collectively need to take a look at a little more, and it's because I also, my family and I, just like very many other families, have to take care of our aging parents. And I think that adult care is something that we need to look at, and the cost of that care. It could average, sometimes $80,000 a year or per day to even take an aging parent. It could cost a hefty mm-hmm. sum. And I think that the various healthcare providers, as well as the state and federal government, should be working with stakeholders, aging our seniors as well as adult children, and trying to figure out a way of how we could take care of our kupuna.
Mm-hmm. Caller, go ahead. You have a comment, a question for Esther.
Yeah, Esther, I'd just like to know how are you, different or totally different from your opponents like Mufi Hanneman and Tulsi Gabbard? They're saying, the same similar things like you're saying. And the fact that they have Washington background, I know Gabbard worked with Dan Akaka, and Mufi Hanneman worked under certain presidential presidents, Bush, like Bush and Carter. And so I'd just like to know, how are you totally different from your two opponents?
Okay, let me just deal with the congressional experience. I have over 20 years of congressional experience in both the U.S. Senate and U.S. House in substantive policy roles, rising up to Chief of Staff and Legislative Director. I will not talk about my opponents' records. I do know that they have been in Washington, but as I have said earlier, I have a proven track record of getting things done. I can actually show what laws I have helped to get enacted, as well as administrative solutions. So I think I differ in that I have the best experience, Washington experience, that could serve the 2nd District well. Second, I believe that I am not wishy-washy on where I stand as a Democrat. I am proud to be a Democrat, and as I said earlier, I fully support the 2010 Democratic platform. I ask all contenders for the 2nd Congressional District to sign a pledge saying that they support the 2010 Democratic platform and to support the upcoming platform that comes out of our upcoming convention.
Mm-hmm. Caller, good morning. You have a comment or question?
Yeah, I have to congratulate the lady listening. This previous caller just asked about her qualifications. I feel she's highly qualified in her background when you asked about her personal background, but she didn't mention, are you married? Do you have children? Or, what is your sexual preference? Are you straight or gay? Thank you.
Well, now, you've already confirmed that you won't be voting for her because she supports and respects the rights of others that are gay. So I'm going to intervene, and this is a rare occasion to say nonsense. You're welcome to call back with good questions, and, I mean, what's the intent behind that question? I don't know. But anyway, that's nothing to do with Esther. This is just to do with the guy who sits at the helm here, and that's me, so... we don't want to know her sexual preference. I don't. I think we'd all never make it to Congress or even the neighborhood board if we had to disclose that. So it's none of our business. Anyway, go ahead with the. You know, you're going to leave here and go to Washington. That's a positive statement. So doing so, you're going to have the lays and all. What are you going to do to ensure that the people, your constituents, have access to your office and access to you and you be able to listen and respond to them? How are you going to treat that, and what's in your
arsenal? That's a great question. Very often people think that being a congressperson means that you just deal with legislation. But in fact, a great part of being a congressperson is to work with your constituents and ensure that their needs are met. And so community outreach is very pivotal. First, I will tell every staff member that everybody is to be treated like royalty. Mm-hmm. It doesn't, no discrimination. Everyone is treated fairly. No VIP. No, this person is calling from so-and-so. Okay, so when you treat everybody like royalty, then you can assure that everybody is treated fairly. With regard to the 10,000-mile distance between Hawaii and Washington, D.C., it need not be a barrier in outreaching to all of the corners of the 2nd District, which is very, very diverse geographically because it's on different islands. But I commit to ensuring that I will be out in the community and working on constituent casework.
Mm-hmm.
That helps individuals and doesn't just deal with the big issues of policy. Very often people are concerned about their Social Security check getting to them, a problem that they're having with the Veterans Affairs, a problem that you're having as a small business owner in dealing with the multitude of regulations that one must have to deal with. And so I commit to having casework as a priority. I believe that Representative Patsy Mink set the bar for outreach, and I think that it is an obligation of a congressional member to ensure that they answer their constituents either via email when they call or through letter. And there should be a turnaround time for that response.
We're going to take a few more calls, and then I'll give you the last word. And it's not that we didn't have a lot to talk about. If there's callers out there, though, that want to call in, feel free, 524-1080. Good morning. You have a comment, a question for Esther?
Sure, I sure do. And, you know, let me preface this with, Esther, you're a breath of fresh air. I'm hoping you have the fortitude for something like this, but I have to ask you, coming from that side of the island, we've had this environmental injustice, where a huge proportion of everything that is negative comes into our environment. And you being part of the X number of years, decades old environment there at the Congress, maybe city, state levels even, what are you going to do about getting some kind of relief, some kind of actual hands-on, boots-to-the-ground relief for all the opala and toxic material that's coming to our side of the island? I think if you don't have a remedy, or at least contemplating a remedy, then you're part of the same old, same old, and I think we're kind of fed up with it. And I'll get off the air, and I'll listen to what you have to say. And aloha.
Thank you.
Well, thank you very much for the question. First of all, I fully concur with your assessment that the Waianae Coast is being used too often by the entire state and the island of Oahu as their dumping ground for all of the woes. And when it comes to looking for alternative sites, they don't do so. While these issues are not of a federal nature, I will, should I be elected, because I'm not an elected official at the moment, I can only act in my personal capacity, but as an elected official, I will work with the various county and state officials and community leaders to say that enough is enough and that we have to look at alternative ways of how to deal with our opala here in Oahu. That is as it pertains to just the issues on the Waianae coast. As it pertains to environmental issues in general, I am a strong supporter of the EPA and other agencies and am very concerned about the federal attacks by congressional Republicans to shut these agencies down. I care deeply about global climate change, especially as it pertains to sea level rise, because we're an island economy and this is happening all across the Pacific. I also believe that alternative energy should be explored in helping to preserve our environment and that we need to preserve our land and natural resources, including our oceans and reefs. Mm-hmm. Agricultural sustainability and food security, I know people look at this issue often isolated from the environment, and I think it should be in tandem. I believe that we should increase our agricultural sustainability and food security in a manner that is good for the environment. Mm-hmm. And so, ma'am, I just want to say that I am not a typical politician. If I don't know the answer, I will find a way. I'm an effective advocate in fighting for issues that are longstanding, and I will work with you and your ohana to move forward on this issue.
Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question for Esther?
Hi, good morning.
Yes, good morning.
I have a question about religion.
Mm-hmm.
What is her religion?
I'm a Christian.
You're a Christian. What kind of Christian?
What kind of Christian? Are there various Christians?
Oh, my God. That means you're not a Christian.
No. Let me just give you a background, sir. I was... my parents are Protestants, and I was baptized a Protestant, so I am very open in my Christian beliefs, and so I practice both Protestant religion, as especially United Church of Christ, and Catholicism.
Oh, thank you very much. That's a very good answer. And another question here. The Fourth Amendment, which is the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures. Now, President Obama, two, three months ago, he signed into law the National Defense Authorization Act. And this act permits the or authorizes the Defense Department to arrest and detain any American without a warrant and without due process to be detained for an unlimited time. Do you approve of this act?
Mm-hmm. He's asking.
Is this for terrorists, or is this for detention in the United States?
Well, this is for American citizens anywhere,
mm-hmm.
And ostensibly they say that if they are suspected of being a terrorist or if they think they have any links to terrorism,
mm-hmm.
and they can do what I just said.
Okay.
I think this issue needs to be revisited. Should this provision be unconstitutional, I'm confident that there will be a challenge to it.
Oh, it is clearly unconstitutional. Mm-hmm. But what surprised me was in the U.S. Senate, out of 100 senators, 96 voted for this bill.
Regrettably, what we have in the current climate of the Congress is that they insert provisions, including unconstitutional provisions, in a bill that is vital to the workings of our government, in this case, the DOD authorization bill. Having said that, I know that for many who are concerned about that provision, they will likely do everything possible to have that part of the bill constitutionally challenged mm-hmm.
okay.
in court.
Caller, thank you. Oh. Well, you have another question real quick?
Recently, there is what is called a federal security zone in which protesters are banned. Can you, I'd like to know if that is only for the president, protection, or can they say that, let's say the local federal building downtown, can be declared a federal security zone and protesters are banned?
You know, I regrettably, I don't know the answer to that, sir.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, caller, anytime. Good morning, caller. You have a comment, a question. Thanks for waiting.
A question.
Yes.
Good morning.
Yes. Good morning. You have a question, comment.
Hello? I'm
yes. Go ahead.
Okay. Ma'am, you know, you're talking about the dump out there in the Waianae Coast, and that's what it is, the dump. You think it's going to stay there?
The Waimanawa Gulf dump, right?
You're talking about the current dump?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, I think it's going to stay there. The question I think that the woman had asked is whether or not there's going to be an increase in that specific, if that dump is going to close, and if there are going to be other areas along the Waianae Coast that is going to be used as dumping grounds, and those are, I'm very concerned about that.
Okay, can I make a suggestion then? You know, in other countries around the world, you go to the Philippines, China, Indonesia, they recycle everything in the dump. There's no such thing as burying stuff in the ground. They basically turn everything, the garbage to the garbage. You know, they turn it back into something. So, you know, the Waianae Coast has high unemployment. You could, you know, sorting is what it's called. They could sort out the garbage, you know, and, you know, not throw too much in the landfill per se, make some jobs,
right,
and recycle that stuff onto the farmland.
Well, she won't be here out instructing people on. She'll be going to Washington. Keep in mind. So I don't want to be insulting, but let's be realistic here. I understand what you're saying, and you faded off, Bob. But anyway, try back. Thank you.
Okay.
Anyway, the one of the things that why I would never. And I don't believe, unless I get drunk and drugged and do it, that someone forced me to run for office, because these issues, while some of the callers are asking certain questions, and they wouldn't want the government in their lives, but then they want to know what your religion is. They wouldn't want to know, you know, and so I don't know how anyone would dare balance that. My hat's off to anybody that would dare go into politics, number one. Two, landfills. And they say Waianae Coast receives the brunt of this, but then a lot of them will vote for the people that go and bring in the pork. And when we put in Lu'ulu'ule, and when we bring in more military, and that's going to be generating trash, and guess what? So the whole cycle is so my hat's off to you, and I think if I was you, I'd go see a psychiatrist. Why do I want to do this? But no, I'm only kidding. But
No, I know it is complex and overwhelming at times. But at the core, at the end of the day, since I feel the same way as many of the callers, mm-hmm. I believe that the most effective way to give rise to my voice is mm-hmm. to run for Congress, if you can mm-hmm. imagine that. And that is, I always try to look at the most efficient way to get what I want achieved. Mm-hmm. And if it means going to Congress not only to represent myself, but also the 2nd Congressional District, mm-hmm. then I will do so.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have any websites or any contact where the public can learn more about you and the voters?
Yes, my website is kiaaina.com. Mm-hmm. It has background on my platform and issues. I also have a telephone number, 591-2012. You could also reach me on Facebook, facebook.com at kiaaina for Congress. And mm-hmm. also I have a Twitter account, Esther Kiaaina.
And that's K-I-A-A-I-N-A.
That's correct. Kia and Aina.
I'm only spelling that for myself because... And I thank you for joining me. And the other candidates, you're more than welcome to call in and to set up a date and come in and hope you accept.
Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Is there anything in closing that...
I just appreciate all of the listeners out there and ask that they do whatever they can to learn more about my candidacy mm-hmm. and to help me in fighting for all of the issues that we believe in. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much for having me on your show.
Okay. Well, thank you for joining me. That is candidate Esther Kiaaina. And for the 2nd District, and that involves some of the outer islands. And it will be posted at carol@carolcox.com. And I assure you, nothing was scripted here, and some questions were simply bullet points, but they weren't asked in that fashion, and I rely on the public, the listeners, and I appreciate all of you calling in. It demonstrates that you do have a concern, and I want to afford you an opportunity to hear straight talk here. So thank you. And we'll be back shortly, and I have many things to talk about. So take care. Okay, good morning again. Welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. I hope that was informative and some opportunities. Now, it's not like I didn't have anything to talk about. I don't want you to think that, but a number of callers called and I couldn't get to you. And you're first. That's and the things that I have to talk about is we can deal with them later, but I want to make sure that you... every little bit that I can do to help you inform yourselves and make informed decisions. That's what I'm trying to do, not trying to be political, but it is good to be able to just ask someone or showing them kissing a baby or petting a dog or something like that, and then you don't know what they're going to do, how they'll stand to tell Obama or President Obama, we don't need Americans murdered, or we don't need to engage in illegal wars that put us in a predicament where when we do engage in illegal wars or unethical practices internationally, we find ourselves in a predicament when one of our soldiers have a problem, mental problem, is motivated to kill 16 people. We get, we really, the other countries dictate how we and this gentleman that did that. I don't know the details, but it seems that the United States government is going to persecute him just to satisfy those people that they went to a war that what I personally believe is illegal. But on the other hand, there I don't hear anything about this issue in Texas where the gentleman shot and killed 13 people. The soldier, the major, whose Muslim belief, and injured some 29 or more. And I don't see the other countries calling to have him quickly prosecuted or persecuted. So that's the danger of doing things illegal or compromising. You then have to, or being hypocritical, you're subject to the whims and the tail wags a dog. So that's one of the reasons. And so how do we know that a candidate is going to tell Obama, we don't want drones flying over Hawaii or in other places to assassinate people without due process? So anyway, that's something I like to avoid discussing, but when you're an American, all kinds of things go through your mind. So anyway, we were talking about some of the local stuff, and there's something pending, and I'm not going to engage in it now, but next week, I promise you, we will talk in totality about the issue with Tropic Lands and some of the activities on the part of neighborhood board members and what have you. We will get to that, and this is still a continued effort to make things right, because that Tropic Land issue is, there's some things that have developed, and I will be bringing them out, and I've extended invitation to the parties that are involved. So we'll discuss that, but I want to give you, there are a number of things that, you saw that Wesley Choi, Dobar, on the DLNR, the harbor people that work for the harbor masters and what have you. Now, you know that we broke the story back in last year, and disclosing that there were allegations of embezzlement and improper spending and what have you. And so he turned himself in and since pled guilty to those charges. But what you're not hearing, as we had indicated on our show earlier, that there's much, much, much more corruption that's occurring, and it's all done under this administration as well as the earlier administration under Lingle. Case in point, on Maui, there we're following up on a story right now, and we've written the DLNR, Mr. Isla's office, and hadn't gotten any response back, and I wrote them as recent as Thursday asking them to please give me some answers to these questions. But so we're going to talk about them briefly, and I'll give you greater detail. But Dobar on the DLNR is so corrupt that it's amazing that anything gets done. And there are allegations, and I've called and spoken to some of the people that are replacing some. One of the managers now, get this, is working as a TSA inspector, but he's also working full-time as a harbor master manager or some of that sort. How can he do that? It was brought to Underwood's attention a long time ago, and he accepted this practice and allowed it, Ed Underwood. And then I'm told here recently he continues the practice, but he calls in sick, or he's on sick leave. So the question is, how is it that the state and its managers on the DLNR and Isla and Underwood, and I understand Isla was there on Maui looking into some of this just the other day, but no heads are rolling. So how is it that one gentleman can have two jobs, federal job, and then I'm told that, and we're trying to get some specifics as the questions that I've asked, he was allowed to take vacation, I'm told, by some of the people that work in DLNR, Dobar. So just kind of crazy, and I don't know all the specifics because Isla and DLNR and Dobar and Underwood are dragging their feet. And one of the managers informed me that he don't see a reason, a problem, that one would have with having two jobs. But if they're 8 to 5 or what have you, if they impede your primary job, you have to determine. But anyway, that's one of the things. But then there's two other individuals that work there on Maui. And again, I'll bring you more specifics later. But it's the corruption that I'm speaking to. And this is all under the watchful eye of Neil Abercrombie as governor and William Isla. And, I mean, at some point you need to pull the plug on these people. And if they're defrauding us as taxpayers, you need to address it. So there's two other gentlemen that are on leave, on a leave of absence, I'm told, because of some labor issue. So we are paying people and we're filling positions and we're asking our legislators to give money to these things, and then our managers stand back and let these activities occur. There's another situation where the allegations are just bountiful, many, of individuals getting permits. And there was an actual case that was heard by the United States federal courts where a party purchased a boat, a catamaran, and in turn was able to get a permit. But somehow the allegations is that she paid some money to get ahead of the line, and the questions were asked and what have you. And so they pulled the permit, and she sued the state. But the allegations are that someone in the hierarchy allowed this entity to break the line, so to speak, when there's a long waiting list. So this is the kind of activities, and I don't know what the status is with the Attorney General, if they're investigating or seeking criminal prosecutions, but it is ripe with corruption, and I mean in the worst way. If you think that you're seeing good management under this administration, you're wrong. I'm just telling you, and they're not vocalizing any of it. They won't communicate back, and I will be getting greater details on this, but again, that's just two or three situations where we know of others within the Dobar and DLNR where fraudulent practices are being alleged. So anyway, that's one. And I wanted to share with you when we talk politics, you know, I believe in talking politics by simply giving you the fodder, so to speak, or food for thought. And I'm informed by some parties that, and here's some allegations they're making. And this is, I want you to follow this when we talk about friends of friends and connections within government and why things, there is a difficulty in getting things done in our local government or in government, period. But Mayor Peter Carlisle, and let's talk about the administrative staff. Now, this is something that was provided for me, and these are allegations, and you can check them yourself, and I will be also following in greater detail. But these are parties is telling me. The Mayor's Office of Culture and Arts, the director, Kaliv Iosefa, was fired from Lingle's administration as the Hawaii Boys Correctional Facility Administrator. Now, she apparently, there's some claims that she has a lawsuit and against the state. And the allegations is that she neglected to assist the boys during the times when boys were getting harassed, molested, beaten, starved, and what have you. And apparently that case is still going. These are the allegations. But the mayor and anybody want, and this is a city prosecutor now, former city prosecutor, that knew. So Governor Lingle fired ISF of the claims are for her actions of neglect and administrative overseeing, the HBYCF. Ms. Iosefa is a sister of Albert Tufuno, deputy of Parks and Recreation for the City and County of Honolulu, who was the former paroling authority, and you know that history. So Mr. Tufuno is married with children to Misty Tufuno, these are the claims now, who is the daughter of Cha Thompson and Mayor Carlisle's campaign manager. Ms. Thompson in 2010 was in charge, charged with the staff of new administration of, for mayor and directors, deputies, and senior advisors. There are no transparency in City Hall, they say, even under this administration. They hid to conduct campaign meetings whenever Ms. Thompson is at City Hall. And then currently, Ms. Iosefa hired Clifford LaBoy in her office to do events, who also was dismissed by Governor Abercrombie from the Department of Hawaii and Homelands for campaigning for Lingle. Mr. Sam Moku referred Mr. LaBoy to this employment with this administration to also assist the mayor's campaign. Now, again, this is some information that was given to me, and there's apparently many violations that they are suppressing, and Chuck Tato is suppressing them. And now, I'm not saying that any of what I've just shared with you is illegal, but it sure raises a question. You see how they're not good at recycling trash, but they're good at recycling their friends and relatives within government for our tax dollars. So are we getting the expertise that we need? Imagine if you hire a brother who has no expertise in anything but just needs a job, then we might have to hire four people to do his job. So imagine if we were efficient and stayed away from the nepotism and all. We could hire one person who has the ability to do the work of 10 people, and we as taxpayers would save a lot of money. So it's ripe with questionable practices within this city government, within this state government. And when you talk about potholes and what have you, and you saw that recent case where city officials or workers from Parks and Recreation was now allegedly assisting people from the OCCC. But I'm still perplexed and puzzled as to how simple people are, that if you remember the people had the sandwich and they took their kids, but you can do things that are unethical and in violation within state government and city government, and you get rewarded with a new job. That's politics here in Hawaii, and it goes across the board, both for Republicans, both for Democrats. And so I don't know what is needed when you get this kind of behavior that is out there and running around. And there's allegations that within the facilities maintenance, people were let go just to avoid prosecution and to cover up the failures on the part of Mr. Carlisle. And again, how would we ever know about these things? Because if we were to see these things on the table and openly talked about, imagine, it would disrupt the natural flow of things with the rail as it going. We know that Carlisle is for the rail. We know that Abercrombie is for the rail. We know. So if any of these little things become public, it would be disruptive and would probably upset the apple cart or the corrupt apple cart. So something is really, really wrong with this practice, folks. And the way we are handling things, it is unbelievable. Just and the problem is, we don't know because they won't tell us. We simply we're left to our own courts to protect ourselves. We vote for them, and then we wait. Look in the mailbox. Taxes goes up, fees goes up. And yet, no one, the ones that should be unemployed and looking for a job, gets recycled and put back into the city government or state government. And it's something that I've had people to call me from, even Kapolei Hale, there's violations, allegations of wrongdoings. And we're going to be talking about those in the coming weeks. But on the why and I issue regarding the Tropic Lands issue, I'm going to hold off in talking specifically about them. But next week, I want to share with you how not only individuals in the community can get co-opted, or how an entire community can get co-opted by businesses who embrace and join in and has influence and give great donations to the people like the Mufi Hannemans and people like Gabbard and any politicians. They don't just give them the money and say, hope you luck in your endeavors as a politician. They are going to want something later. They're either going to want you to appoint one of their people, you see, to do the job and get things in and write legislation, or they're going to want to hire their law firm to go and write up legislation for a person that is willing, a legislator or a city council or someone. But the Tropic Lands thing, I think if we're able to get to the bottom of it, both things would be done a little bit different. And it speaks to how when companies come in and co-opt individuals in a community and co-opt that community and control that community. And in some of the emails that we have were with Tropic Lands, and I've contacted Eric Yanagihara, who represented Tropic Land in that matter and was working with them, actually was sending emails and telling the individuals or suggesting the individuals what to do. And investigating Mao Farms and using that information and then disseminating that information back into the community to cause disruption and basically pitting one community against the other community so that they could get the final product. So all of those things, and I promise you I will go into greater details next week one way or another, and I'm not doing this to bait you. I'm doing this to share with you. Enlightenment is so good when things, when the fruit is ripe, the fruit is ripe now, and we're getting information, and things are being channeled, and I can only tell you, you will be more informed than ever, and I think, what do they say, OMG, you'll say that 10 times over. And some of us get involved and we, not knowingly or unsuspectingly, lend ourselves to these practices while we're doing good for the community. But in fact, we're being co-opted and we're being manipulated without knowing. And so, again, that's how companies do things, and there becomes a dog fight or a chicken fight, so to speak, where the communities are pitted against one another and community leaders. And that is something that I'm hoping you have an interest in when we go to talk about this, because it's crazy. And in city government, I'll be talking with you about the Department of Customer Services, scandalous activities going on there. And we will have that information, you know. Some of the little notes that we have in 2011 administration investigating Mr. Woodward for many violations and incidents in the department, and he was asked to retire quietly so that the administration did not look bad. So look at some of these things now. The cover-up, and some of them I'm not familiar with, cover-up of DFM staff for parking lot scam, remember that one? Maile Stream cover-up cost for fines of the city was something like $3.2 million. Missing trucks and equipment from inventory of DFM. Imagine, how do you miss trucks? They're telling us they got 20 new trucks today. And by the way, you didn't see anything to say they had 7 trucks brand new that they never use or can't use, or now they're finally struggling to use them.
And I'm told some of those trucks that they are using, the small trucks that we reported on a while back, they are not able to carry the capacity that they originally bought them for, where sometimes they were like 13 tons and now they can't deliver that because it has some problem with the scales, and I don't know all the details, but they're limiting them now to some 5 to 6 ton on those small trucks. So your tax dollars, man, you'd be shocked. And then here's one, and I'm hoping to get greater details. The allegations that someone is using vehicles and equipment and renting them out to citizens. Boy, that would be a good one. Yearly overtime for DFM employees to do the Honolulu City Lights program, road division, electricians, motor pool, security. Everyone ran the city overtime and double time and half for approval from Woodward to his DFM employees. Cover up costs internally from council, Honolulu City Lights and Windward City Lights. So I'm thinking there's what I'm learning now and what I've reported on, there's a lot of fraud in the city lights program. So we really may not be seeing the light, to be honest with you. We might just be in the dark and going to be kept in the dark by the current administration and newer politicians. So next week, as I promised, I will be there. And we'll be back here to talk with you. Good morning, caller. You have a comment real quick?
Yeah, real quick. Why can't you get an article, a weekly article in the, say, the midweek, which is read by everyone on this island? I have many friends who would like to listen to you, but a lot of them are about golfing on Sundays and whatnot. A weekly article with your exposés in midweek would be a great benefit to your program. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And again, you can go to carolcox.com and get this information. And I don't know how the paper leans, if they really want a person to write, but maybe I'll inquire. Okay, well, thank you, and I'll see you next week. And I promise you that we won't say sparks will fly, but we will try to remove the lies from government. So you take care, and I'll see you next week.
Thank you for tuning in to the Carol Cox Show, heard every Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on K108.